Here it is!
From deep inside your radio.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, last week at this time I was in Washington, D.C., our nation's capital, a city struggling to solve a budget crisis. And so this week I've flown west via Phoenix, shared a plane with John McCain, to Sacramento, a capital city struggling to solve a budget crisis. It's catching. Yes, it is. And I'll tell you something. When you fly into Sacramento, it really brings home much more even than reading reports from, let's say, the Army Corps of Engineers. The similarity between the situation geographically of New Orleans and Sacramento. But you could also look at what the Corps of Engineers says, which is, Sacramento, you're next. One of the reasons why I'm here, then, is to show the Big Uneasy tonight. Early show, 5 o'clock. Hey, if you're in the Bay Area, take the short drive on up, won't you? Crest Theater, the whistleblower from within the Corps of Engineers will be with me to answer questions after the film. And, man, I used to take that drive in the middle of the night, half asleep. You can do it. And you're awake, arguably. This week, of course, a classic big news week, but there's a big news, Zabrinsky, as a matter of fact. I did screw up both halves of that name, so that's all right. But we'll take a little note of some other events that may have eluded your attention, such as the death this week of the man who put more LSD into more heads, probably than any other human being, Augustus Owsley Stanley III. And also, when he was mixing sound for bands, which he did for a while, used more reverb than anybody had ever heard before or since. The two facts may be related. I'm not sure. We'll check on that. We'll have our crack staff check, or our acid staff check on that, for that matter. And ladies and gentlemen, of course, the question, you know, I have to say, one of the reasons I'm very glad I don't yak on the radio every day, aside from just maintaining my tenuous purchase on sanity, such as it is I avoid the need, therefore, the compulsion, you know, with these people who have to fill, well, you know, Glenn Beck said it on this excerpt we played on this broadcast a couple of weeks ago. You know, you're on the air 4 hours a day. It's just an invitation to disaster. So I don't have to opine on things I know nothing about. Case in point, the Libya thing. Seems to me, all I can say about it is, the question is, and I watched people on the Sunday Morning Yak shows kind of avoid this question, even when one of the experts called to one of the Sunday Yak Show panels was Paul Wolfowitz. Yes, he walks free. But the question, it seems to me, about Libya is it Iraq or is it Rwanda? And that seems to be motivating most of the people, you know, subliminally in terms of how they come down on this. I'm proud to say my conclusion is, so far, neither. Hello, welcome to the show.
While the music played, you walked by candlelight. Go to San Francisco nights. We're the best in town. Just by chance, you crossed the diamond with the pearl. Turned it on the world. That's when you turn the world around.
Did you feel like Jesus?
Did you realize that you were a champion in their eyes? On the hill, the stuff was laced with kerosene, but yours was kitchen clean. Everyone stopped to stare at you technically.
us will all end up in jail. Those testers and the scam, just get it all out of here. Is there gas in the car? Yes, there's gas in the car.
From Sacramento, California, the state capital of the Golden State, I'm Harry Shearer. Welcome you to this edition of the show. First of all, long time since we've done this, but this is good. A dog trainer correction for you from the Los Angeles Dog Trainer, still published under the name of the Times. KTLA Channel 5 weatherman Mark Criskey, who's been out since November after being stricken with pneumonia and a hospital-borne bacterial infection, is on the mend and is planning to return to the station. The 20-year veteran who appears on the morning news was hospitalized in early November with pneumonia. He later contracted a superbug he caught at the hospital. His lungs became so full of fluid they collapsed. His heart was also in jeopardy. He said he also had to be intubated for almost 2 weeks and sedated when doctors feared he might get infected. That's the story. First correction, a previous version of this story incorrectly stated that Criskey had been incubated for 4 days rather than intubated. Second correction, a previous version of this story incorrectly stated that Criskey was intubated for 4 days instead of 2 weeks. So aside from that, they right on the money, right on the money. You can still subscribe, won't you? Or not. Dog trainer corrections for you, and now...
Clean, safe, too cheap to meet.
Save,
cheap, too cheap to meet.
Cheap,
save, too safe to meet.
Save,
save, too safe to meet.
We could get Google Translator to work on the Japanese version of that, but ladies and gentlemen, so much, of course... on the subject of our friend the Atom. Sit down, Eddie. It's going to be a long one.
All right, then. I'm comfy.
Good. From the Washington Post on Friday, just way, 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 way deep in a story about the situation in Japan and the attempts as of Friday to string a cable to get some electricity to this plant, which, of course, splits atoms to boil water to make electricity, you see. Here we go. It's unclear how much electricity is now available to the site or why TEPCO, the Tokyo Electric Power Company, called on General Electric to deliver 10 mobile generators from the United States. A GE spokesman said he did not know when the request from TEPCO came in or when GE would be able to deliver the generators. That's reassuring. That's called. And by the way, the GE designed the reactors that are acting up in Japan, and several reactors in the United States are of the same design, by the same manufacturer. I guess that's what you call imagination. The unfolding disaster follows decades, says Bloomberg News. Decades in Japan of falsified safety reports, fatal accidents, and underestimated earthquake risks in Japan's atomic power industry. That's reassuring. Nuclear engineers and academics who've worked in Japan's atomic power industry spoke in interviews of a history of accidents, faked reports, and inaction by a succession of governments. Katsuhiko Ishibashi, a seismology professor at Kobe University, has said Japan's history of nuclear accidents stems from an overconfidence in plant engineering. That's so Japanese. That's so unlike us, isn't it? In 2006, he resigned from a government panel on reactor safety, saying the review process was rigged and unscientific. It's just atomic energy. Why not play around with it? In an interview in 2007, after TEPCO's Kashiwazaki nuclear plant was struck by an earthquake, didn't hear about that, did you? Ishihashi said fundamental improvements were needed in engineering standards for atomic power stations, without which Japan could suffer a catastrophic disaster. We didn't learn anything, he said in a phone interview this week. Nuclear power is national policy, and there's a real reluctance to scrutinize it. Japan's record isn't the worst. The IAEA rates nuclear accidents on a scale of 0 to 7. This is only a 5 so far. The key thing here is that this is not another Chernobyl, says Ken Brockman. I said Ken Brockman, former director of nuclear installation safety at the IAEA. At least it isn't Homer Impson. Ken Brockman. From the Union of Concerned Scientists press conference, is there any comparison to the BP oil spill? You know, that was a pretty worst-case scenario. Answer, well, I think the common denominator is the United States Congress, and what we're hearing now on the BP spill is that Minerals Management Service was an ineffective regulator, and the Nuclear Regulatory Commission is another ineffective regulator. It's not really the NRC's fault. When the NRC in the 90s was trying to enforce its regulations at the Millstone nuclear plant in Connecticut, well, why not just call it the Albatross nuclear plant while you're at it? The nuclear industry ran to Congress, and Congress told the NRC to stop enforcing its regulations. You are going to put these guys out of business. So the NRC, since their budget is controlled by Congress, they listened. They haven't enforced regulations in about 15 years. So when the accident occurs in the nuclear plant, Congress will call the NRC and say, geez, what's wrong with you? They'll change their name, as they did with the Minerals Management Service, and then they'll do the same old stuff. More. Nuclear plants in the United States last year experienced at least 14 near misses, serious failures in which safety was jeopardized, at least in part due to lapses in oversight and enforcement by nuclear safety regulators, says a report from the Union of Concerned Scientists. None of the safety problems harmed plant employees or the public. They occurred with interesting frequency, more than one a month, which is high for a mature industry, says the study. Mature, I think they mean in age. The NRC made some outstanding catches, the UCS report acknowledges, but was also inconsistent in its oversight, seeming at times to nod off when most needed. When the NRC tolerates unresolved safety problems, as it did last year at Peach Bottom, Indian Point, and Vermont Yankee, gee, where have we heard those words before? This lax oversight allows that risk to rise. The more owners sweep safety problems under the rug and the longer safety problems remain uncorrected, the higher the risk climbs. Other examples besides Three Mile Island include the Calvert Cliffs nuclear plant in Maryland, which on February 18th automatically shut down when rainwater leaked in through, you know, holes in the roof, like you do, and dripped onto electrical equipment. Sounds like my contractor. Workers had noticed a number of leaks across many months before this event, but plant managers had put off repairs. After all, the report said, the roof only leaked when it rained. Really sounds like my contractor. No, my old contractor, not my present. He's good. I mean, my no, I didn't mean you. You're please don't. Similarly, at the Braidwood nuclear plant in Illinois on August 16th, both reactors shut down, the report said. First, an electrical problem caused an automatic shutdown in one reactor. Then a poorly designed safety system. That's a good idea, a poorly designed safety system. Dumped water onto the floor of the turbine building, which then rained down to lower floors, shorting out other electrical equipment and causing the other reactor to automatically shut down. Previous events had also dumped lots of water onto the floor, notes the report. But management did not fix the design glitch. They only sent workers out to mop up the puddles. Hey, they got mops. What's your problem? They have mops. One of the best safety features at that plant is the mops. After a near miss at one plant, the NRC sent a team to the site to investigate. They found a huge number of problems, including errors in design and procurement of safety equipment, maintenance, operations, and training. Aside from that, Mrs. Lincoln, everything was fine. Says this study by the Union of Concerned Scientists, they're accepting no excuse for the fact that the company and the NRC had not detected and corrected at least some of these problems before this event. None of the 14 near misses would have happened had earlier warning flags been heeded instead of being ignored or discounted. Well, that's why they call them warning flags, isn't it? So you can ignore them. Our findings, the report concludes, match those of the agency's internal assessments as well as of the NRC's Office of Inspector General. Relax. They got mops. India is in the nuclear power game. Says an Asia Times correspondent, many fear of Japan, a country known for its quiet efficiency and discipline, as well as immense expertise in earthquake and tsunami design, had not been able to prevent explosions in its nuclear facilities. There's little chance that India, which is notorious, says this correspondent, for its chaos and the low priority it accords to public safety, will be in a position to do so. Quote, we are most disorganized and unprepared to handle emergencies of any kind, of even much less severity, says a former chairman, the former chairman of the Atomic Energy Regulatory Board in India. Quoting, the AERB's disaster preparedness oversight is mostly on paper. The drills they conduct once in a while are half-hearted efforts, which are a sham, unquote. A. Gopalakrishnan, former chairman of the Indian Atomic Energy Regulatory Board.
It's just the atom. It's just splitting atoms, baby.
India's nuclear top brass currently insists that safety audits of nuclear plants are taken seriously. However, a mandatory safety audit alone does not make reactors safe. Who conducts the audit is important, and in India, the body that does the audit is drawn from the Department of Atomic Energy, says the former chairman of the regulatory board. It merely serves as a lapdog of the Department of Atomic Energy and the Prime Minister's office, and thus overall nuclear safety management in India has been rendered worthless. But we're not in India. We're in America. The official David Lockbaum from the Union of Concerned Scientists discussing the interlocking meltdowns in the reactors in Japan. Imagination. He says, I don't feel bad. I did all I could to avoid this. The folks at the NRC are the ones who should be feeling bad. The reason I'm at the Union of Concerned Scientists today is because of a spent fuel pool fire. That was in 1992, and Lockbaum was then working for Enercom, not Intercom, Enercom, the nuclear engineering consulting firm, part of a team evaluating the twin reactors at Susquehanna Nuclear Power Station in Pennsylvania, seeking permission to increase power. Susquehanna is very similar to the plants in Japan, Lockbaum says, but it's bigger. My partner was looking at safety systems and meltdown scenarios in the reactor, and I was looking at them in the spent fuel pool system. What we found was that there was a problem with the spent fuel located inside the containment building, as in Japan. If there was a reactor accident, the environment produced by the reactor automatically triggers a spent fuel pool accident, and conversely. And since they're both in that confined space, the radioactive environment created by one interferes with you being able to get to the other. It's clean, ladies and gentlemen. It's safe. It's too cheap to meter. It's our friend, the atom. Eddie, you can go now.
Thank you very much. It's been my pleasure.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, he didn't even close the door on the way out. Did you notice that? He just goes through the door. News of the Olympic movement. This sounds like a sketch from a show making fun of the Olympics, which in fact it was, but it also happened in reality. The digital clock in central London, which has been counting down to the 2012 Olympics, stopped less than 24 hours after it started. The timer was unveiled in a ceremony in Trafalgar Square to mark the 500th day before next year's Games. But the 21-foot display became stuck on 500 days and 7 hours, 6 minutes, 56 seconds.
"We're obviously very disappointed that the clock has suffered this technical issue,"
said a spokesman for the Swiss-based Swatch Group.
"The Omega London 2012 countdown clock was developed by our experts and fully tested ahead of the launch in Trafalgar Square. We are currently looking into why this happened."
The clock resumed its countdown Thursday evening. How are they going to catch up? They'll do it. And houseboat residents near the Olympic Development Site in East London are accusing British waterways of an attempt at social cleansing. Where have we heard this before? In what Olympic city? Like all of them? They say proposed changes to rules for living on the canals before the 2012 Games could force hundreds of people from their water-based homes. A draft note from British waterways, seen by the British newspaper The Guardian, says the urgency relates to the objective of reducing unauthorized mooring on adjacent waterways in time for the Olympics. Wouldn't want to see houseboats on, you know, spoils the whole thing. And John Furlong has been cleared of wrongdoing during bidding for the Winter Games by the Olympic Committee. The chief organizer of the 2010 Vancouver Winter Olympics said in his memoirs that a deal with Moscow's mayor may have been crucial to Vancouver's victory. The book said a deal had been reached that involved Vancouver arranging a special Olympic bidding workshop for the Russians in exchange for votes from Russia's IOC members. Rules of the Olympic Committee say no promise of any kind of advantage may be made, said the IOC in its ruling. In a case of discussion with the Russian mayor, the CEO of the Canadian bid met with the mayor of Moscow, and as far as he is not an IOC member, there is no concern. And he probably doesn't know any IOC members either. The Olympics. It's a movement. And everybody needs one. Every day. Gee, doesn't sound as impressive without the music, does it? It is a movement, and everybody needs one every day, ladies and gentlemen. Among the news stories you may have missed this week was the report that Garrison Keillor has announced to the AARP magazine, of all places, that he is retiring from a Prairie Home Companion. He's nearing the age of 70. And says he'll be retiring from the program, from the legendary public radio program, Please Give, in 2013. the time between now and then, he says, is necessary for him to find a successor.
Okay. Shall we see a few more now?
Oh, I guess so. Pickens looking a bit slim so far.
Oh, I think you'll like this next group. Okay. So. Next.
Hi.
All right, then.
Hi. It's been a quiet week in Poughkeepsie, New York, where the...
Hold on just a second there. Can you sound like you care a little bit?
I do care. It's a story about my brother being in a plane crash.
You know, I don't really think so.
Okay, thank you. Next. Hello.
Afternoon.
This is about how Mama Schlorman first started making kugel. And did she have spielkes that August afternoon? Bubby had just...
You know, I think this might be demographically a little challenging for our audience. A little cosmopolitan.
Yes, I said in D.C. you might be a little less than receptive to Yiddishkeit when... Thank you. Next.
Hey, hi. Cool. So, word from my homies in G-Town? Straight up, Father Cedric has a fave altar boy. He's friended him and not in a Facebook way for shizzle.
Not sure I understand him.
Thank you.
Epic fail, dude.
Next.
Yeah. So, Ole Olofsson says to Sven Svenborg, yeah, Sven, so I...
Thank you.
Well, sure. Maybe we'll just turn it into a music show. Mr. Butch Thompson, Mr. Peter Strushko, Mr. Greg Bound.
Would you like to take another five?
You know something? I'm almost 70. Let's make it a 10.
If your child ain't all he should be now, this girl can put I'll show him what he could be now. Just give me one night. I'm the gypsy, the acid queen. Hey, before we start, the gypsy, I'm guaranteed to tear your soul apart. Give us a room, close the door. For a while, your boy won't be a boy no more. Young, but not a child. I'm the gypsy, the acid queen. Hey, before we start, the gypsy, I'm guaranteed to tear your soul apart. Gather your
child ain't all he should be now. This girl will bring him right. I'll show him what he could be now. Just give me one night. I'm the gypsy, the acid queen. Hey, before we start, the gypsy, I'm guaranteed to tear your soul apart.
From Sacramento, this is LeShow, and now, the apologies of the week.
We're so sorry.
The Washington Post apologized this week for publishing two articles in March that, quote, contained substantial material that was borrowed and duplicated without attribution from the Arizona Republic newspaper, unquote. This is the most serious kind of matter for a news organization, says executive editor Marcus Brockley. Really? Worse than lying? Quote, taking information without attribution is unethical and not in keeping with the Post standards of journalism. There are no mitigating circumstances for plagiarism, unquote. The Post, in its apology, does not name the reporter or link to the articles in question, but from the paper's own description of the articles, published shortly after the Tucson shooting, they appear to be written by Pulitzer Prize-winning reporter Sari Horwitz, who has since been suspended by the paper. Dateline Topeka, Kansas, a Kansas State lawmaker apologized in person for a controversial remark he made suggesting that unauthorized immigrants should be shot. I'm Virgil Peck, and on Monday I made an inappropriate comment, he told CNN in an on-camera statement. On Thursday, for that I'm sorry and I apologize to anyone that I offended with my inappropriate comment. I'll be more careful with my words in the future, he said. He had made a reference to an agricultural program that controls the state's, that is to say Kansas's, feral hog population by shooting them from helicopters. Looks like to me, if shooting these immigrant feral hogs works, maybe we've found a solution to our illegal immigration problem, he had said. But he's sorry now. And this just breaks my heart, ladies and gentlemen. Comedian Gilbert Gottfried, and now I'm quoting Reuters when I use the words comedian Gilbert Gottfried in the same phrase. Comedian Gilbert Gottfried apologized this week for a series of jokes he made on Twitter about the Japanese earthquake and tsunami, comments which got him fired as the voice of Affleck. And now, no, I'm not auditioning. Quote, I sincerely apologize to anyone who was offended by my attempt at humor regarding the tragedy in Japan. I meant no disrespect, and my thoughts are with the victims and their families, Gottfried said in a statement. The company was quick to dismiss him after a dozen jokes made on his Twitter account last week, and many of them crude sexual riffs on the effects of the disaster. Aflac made its name selling cancer expense policies in Japan in the 1970s and still derives about three-quarters of its revenue from Japan. Indeed. Deadline Los Angeles, a UCLA student whose anti-Asian rant on YouTube made national headlines, announced this week she plans to leave the university in an apology letter sent to the Daily Bruin. I used to work there. Alexandra Wallace wrote that the video has led to, quote, the harassment of my family, the publishing of my personal information, death threats, and being ostracized from an entire community. Accordingly, for personal safety reasons, I've chosen to no longer attend classes at UCLA. Classes could be tough, too. She sent the letter the same day the university announced it would not be taking any disciplinary action against her. In her three-minute video, Wallace lashes out at Asian students using a fake Asian accent to chastise students who use their cell phones in the library. If you're going to come to UCLA, then use American manners, she says in the video. In her letter to the Daily Bruin, Wallace said she was, quote, trying to produce a humorous YouTube video, but she instead offended the UCLA community and the entire Asian culture. I am truly sorry for the hurtful words I said and the pain it caused to anyone who watched the video, she wrote, especially in the wake of the ongoing disaster in Japan. I would do anything to take back my insensitive words. I could write apology letters all day and night, but I know they wouldn't erase the video from your memory, nor would they act to reverse my inappropriate action. She's also refusing to be a spokesperson for Aflac. Dateline Ukraine, the leader of the Fatherland Party, Yulia Tymoshenko, has apologized for all the mistakes she's ever made. I apologize for each mistake I've made. If I did something wrong, I apologize for this, she said on TV. Well, that's encyclopedic. That should cover the waterfront. the president of the University of Albany. Hey, Albany, welcome back. Apologized for the destructive and disruptive behavior by University of Albany students last Saturday. Quote, the university shares the outrage of community members and wants to assure them that UAlbany does not condone such behavior. A Malaysian newspaper has apologized for printing a caricature of Japanese cartoon superhero Ultraman comically trying to outrun a tsunami. Sensing a trend this week, ladies and gentlemen, Malaysians reacted with a tirade of anger after the Malay language daily paper published the cartoon last Sunday. Critics called for a boycott of the paper. Dateline Hesperia, California. I remember when that was just a developer's dream. Now it's a city councilman's nightmare. City Councilman Russ Blewett apologized for making an obscene remark following a heated discussion on a service animal ordinance during a break in Tuesday's council meeting. I regret that I became caught up in this emotional issue and responded in an intemperate manner, and I apologize to my constituents, Blewett said in a prepared statement. He reportedly said, and I'm going to be paraphrasing here, consume fecal matter and cease existence, madam, according to knowledgeable witnesses. The remark came after the council voted on an ordinance that allows rats and other animals to be deemed service animals. The vote was 4-1. Mayor Pro Tem Russ Blewett regrettably was caught up in the emotion of the moment and responded inappropriately, according to a city press release. Yes, his name is Blewett, and he did. What's your question? But there's more. Yes, you were noticing we didn't have a religious apology yet this week. That was just awaiting this. The Bishop of Salford has apologized over allegations of sexual abuse at a leading Manchester, this is Britain, Manchester Catholic Grammar School, that's a grammar school, during the 1950s and 60s. Former pupils, which became independent of Salford Diocese in the mid-70s, have reported abuse by Monsignor Thomas Duggan. The allegations against the priest who died in 1968 are being investigated by the Catholic Safeguarding Commission. Like the Nuclear Regulatory Commission. Kind of. The bishop said he was, quote, deeply sorry for the pain and distress reported. Allegations made by 57 former pupils include reports that Monsignor Duggan ordered boys to strip before caning and touching them at the school. He was rector of the school and was senior to the headmaster responsible for setting the curriculum and discipline. The Bishop of Salford, Terence Brain, said, quote, I am shocked and saddened by the complaints from some former pupils of the school which have been brought to the attention of our safeguarding commission. Although it is not suggested there was a culture of institutional abuse, nonetheless, the abusive behavior which has been reported has no place within the Catholic Church. I acknowledge and am deeply sorry for the pain and distress reported to have been suffered by those affected. Singer and comedian Mike Harding, one of the pupils there, not sexually abused, beaten, however, has accused the bishop of not making a full apology. It's just not enough for Mike. Tokyo Governor Shintaro Ishihara apologized this week for his remark that the devastating earthquake and subsequent tsunami that struck Japan represented divine punishment of the Japanese people who have been tainted with egotism. I take back the remark and offer a deep apology, he told the news conference, saying he should have thought about the feelings of victims. And he, too, will be doing no commercials for Aflac. Southwest Airlines apologized this week to a Muslim woman taken off one of the carrier's jets before a flight out of San Diego's Lindbergh Field due to concerns about a comment she made while awaiting takeoff. Urim Abbasi, a graduate student at San Diego State and a mother of three, was wearing an Islamic headscarf when she was told Sunday she had to leave the plane because a flight attendant considered her suspicious. She says she was discriminated against because she was wearing the headscarf. She'd have had better luck on Southwest if she was weighed 300 pounds. And Alaska Airlines has apologized for a weekend incident in which three Orthodox Jewish businessmen triggered security concerns by conducting a prayer ritual on board a flight to Los Angeles. The men began praying out loud in Hebrew shortly after takeoff on a flight from Mexico City. Flight attendants alerted the flight deck, which called the tower and alerted law enforcement. When the plane arrived in L.A., it was met by the FBI and Customs and Border Protection and Airport Police. The men were not a threat, according to the FBI. Alaska Airlines embraces the cultural and religious diversity of our passengers and employees. We apologize for the experience these passengers went through after landing in Los Angeles, as well as any inconvenience. The airline issued apologies after conducting an internal review and said it wasn't just the prayers that worried the flight crew. They observed unusual behavior from the three male passengers. The behavior was they put on tefillin. Look it up. Yes, you can be Muslim, you can be Jewish, you're weird. Dateline China, Zhengzhou, China's largest meat processor, Shuanggui Group, apologized this week after an illegal additive which allegedly found in meat products in an affiliate of the company. Really? Tainted stuff from China? I find that hard to believe. And a state official in Pennsylvania under fire for comparing a documentary critical of natural gas drilling to Nazi propaganda has apologized to the filmmaker. Josh Fox, whose documentary Gasland was nominated for an Academy Award. Unlike certain documentaries I could mention, the apologies of the week, ladies and gentlemen, a copyrighted feature of this very broadcast. One of the news stories that went by us in the wave of all this stuff going on was an interview that Newt Gingrich gave to the Christian Broadcasting Network a few days ago, in which he had a novel explanation for his sexual escapades when he was, well, he's on his third wife, you see, and apparently each time he took a new wife, it was, well, the affair started while he was still married to the previous one, and so here was his explanation on the Christian Broadcasting Network a few days ago.
There's no question that at times in my life, partially driven by how passionately I felt about this country, that I worked far too hard, and that things happened in my life that were not appropriate.
So, in other words, ladies and gentlemen, it was just patriotism that made him do it. In other words,
man, you know, there's something very deep between us. Yes, I'm talking about the Potomac. All I want to do right now is take your hand. That's right. And just do the thing that feels so right. Pledge allegiance all night long. Feels so right, baby. Pledge all night. Oh, yeah. Just you and me. You see those stars and stripes? I see them too. They get me super hot. They do the same to you. We got to get together, babe. Talk some Article One. We'll go through the whole Constitution, babe, before the night is done. We'll argue Adams's, John Quincy versus John. You can take your clothes off, babe. For a while I'll keep mine on. Just wanna lay you down and see where that may take us. We'll make some red hot love or read some Federalist Papers. We'll have sex and balances. Make a perfect union. Stars and stripes, we'll make love beneath. Stars and stripes, they're even on my briefs. Stars and stripes, gonna worship them tonight. Can't get enough of your flag. Oh, baby. This desk is big enough for two, don't you think? I sure do. I gaze into your eyes. It's Mount Rushmore that I see. Let's fly here through the night, then fly to Washington, D.C. Gotta have what you got, patriotism in every pore. Gonna sing the anthem very slow and make you cry for more. Let's play a game, baby. Good way to begin. your Ellis Island, babe, and you let me in. Just want to lay you down and see where that may take us. We'll make some red hot love or read some Federalist Papers. We'll have sex and balances. Make a perfect union. Stars and stripes. We'll make love beneath stars and stripes. They're even on my briefs. Stars and stripes. Gonna worship them tonight. Oh, baby. Can't get enough of your flag. Let's make a little compact right here. You won't tell the sergeant at arms, and I won't either. We got some amendments to consider.
Oh, how is it that I could come out to here and be still floating and never hit bottom and keep falling through, just relaxed and paying attention? Dimensional boundaries were gone. I had lost to them badly. I saw that world crumble and thought I was dead, but I found my senses still working. And as I continued to trap through the hole, I found all surrounding to show me that joy innocently is. Just be quiet and feel it around you. And I opened my heart to the whole universe, and I found it was loving. And I saw the great blunder my teachers had made, scientific delirium madness. That is now, that has ended before the beginning. Oh, how is it that I could come out to here and be still flowing and never hit bottom and keep falling through, just relaxed and paying attention?
And now, ladies and gentlemen, news from outside the bubble. From The Guardian in London, U.S. officials had evidence of widespread torture by Indian police and security forces and were secretly briefed by International Red Cross staff about the systematic abuse of detainees in Kashmir, according to leaked diplomatic cables. There's that non-news from WikiLeaks again. The dispatches reveal the U.S. diplomats in Delhi were briefed in 2005 by the Red Cross about the use of electrocution, beatings, and sexual humiliation against hundreds of detainees. Doesn't say what the U.S. reaction was. So what? We do that in Abu... Other cables show that as recently as 2007, American diplomats were concerned about widespread human rights by Indian... widespread human rights abuses by Indian security forces, who they said relied on torture for confessions. The revelations will be intensely embarrassing, says The Guardian, for New Delhi, which takes pride in its status as the world's biggest democracy and comes at a time of heightened sensitivity in Kashmir after renewed protests and violence this year. Another WikiLeaks cable published by The Guardian Dateline dated 2008, member of the Japanese House of Representatives Taro Kono spoke extensively to the U.S. ambassador on nuclear energy and nuclear fuel reprocessing during a dinner. He's young and very outspoken, especially as a critic of the government's nuclear policy, says the cable. During this meeting, he voiced his strong opposition to the nuclear industry in Japan, especially nuclear fuel reprocessing based on issues of cost, safety, and security. He claimed Japanese electric companies are hiding the costs and safety problems associated with nuclear energy while successfully selling the idea of reprocessing to the Japanese public as recycling. He asserted that Japan's reprocessing program had been conceived as part of a nuclear cycle designed to use reprocessed fuel in fast breeder reactors. However, these reactors have not been successfully deployed, and Japan's prototype fast breeder reactor is still offline after an accident in 1995. He was also critical of Japanese ministries. He claimed the ministries were trapped in their policies, which they could not challenge. And he said the Ministry for Trade and Development was committed to nuclear energy development despite the problems he attributed to it. He also accused the industry, the agency, of covering up nuclear accidents and obscuring the true costs and problems associated with the nuclear industry. He also raised the issue of nuclear waste, commenting Japan had no permanent high-level waste storage and thus no solution to the problem of storage. This all told to our ambassador in 2008. And the mysterious collapse of honeybees is becoming a global phenomenon, scientists working for the United Nations have revealed. This reported by the British newspaper The Independent. Declines in managed bee colonies seen increasingly in Europe and the United States are now being observed in China and Japan, and there are the first signs of African collapses from Egypt, according to the report. The authors, who include some of the world's leading honeybee experts, issue a stark warning about the disappearance of the bees, which are increasingly important as crop pollinators around the globe. Without profound changes to the way human beings manage the planet, they say, declines in pollinators needed to feed a growing global population are likely to continue. Yeah, right. News from outside the bubble, ladies and gentlemen, a copyrighted feature of this broadcast. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that's going to conclude this week's edition of Le Show. The program returns next week at the same time over the same stations over NPR worldwide throughout Europe, the USN 440 cable system in Japan, around the world through the facilities of the American Forces Network, up and down the east coast of North America via the shortwave giant WBCQ, the planet, 7.415 megahertz shortwave on the mighty 104 in Berlin, around the world via the internet at two different locations, live and archived, whenever you want at harryshearer.com. Or also at kcrw.com, available for your smartphone through stitcher.com, and available as a free podcast from kcrw.com. And it'd be just like human beings changing the way we manage the planet, if you agree to join with me then, would you? All righty, thank you very much. A tip of the show, chapeau to the San Diego, Pittsburgh, Chicago, and Hawaii desks. Thanks, as always, to Pam Halston, and thanks to Mark Jones at Capital Public Radio here in Sacramento for helping to make today's program possible. The email address for this broadcast and a list of the music heard hereon, always available, except when it's not, at harryshearer.com. And to find out where the Big Uneasy is playing around the country, still in Dallas, go figure. And here in Sacramento and around the country for the next 3 months, TheBigUneasy.com. This program is on Twitter at The Harry Shearer. The show comes to you from Century of Progress Productions and originates through the facilities of KCRW Santa Monica. Santa Monica, you've heard of it. It's a community recognized around the world as the home of the homeless.